Thank you, Jesus, that we can come together, Lord, this morning. We just give you glory and honor and praises, Lord, for what you have done already. And we ask you, Lord, that you quicken us with your word, Lord, that we may be able to appropriate and receive everything, Lord, that we may be breaking loose from all type of bondages, Lord, that remain sometime with us because of religion, Lord, that we may come to realize the freedom that we have in you, to experience it, and to have the victory, Lord, that you have conquered for yourself and for us. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to be actually been working on this for some time, especially also on Thursday night. You know, the understanding, the breakthrough from the power of the law that keeps believers, okay, and kept believer bound in the Old Testament and keep believer bound, most of them, in the New Testament too. And I want to just deal with some of the issues, some of the understanding that is required to be set free with the proper understanding, not with some of the stuff going on today. Understanding is important, but it cannot be received mentally. Your mind cannot grasp these things logically, because our logic is controlled by our flesh. It is determined by our experience, and is determined by things that we heard before. We had to really become free from that to be able to have the relationship with God that God wants us to have. Law had a purpose. And is necessary to start with to be able to understand the other things. But if we remain thinking with that kind of framework, we are never going to be able to experience the freedom that comes from being walking in the Spirit. The law was part of God's teaching, part of God's direction for us to be able to connect mentally with some spiritual truth. But it's not going to allow us to move from there if we are bound by it. We have to understand that. We have to understand that in the New Testament, for born-again, spirit-filled believers, okay, often, if they are remaining in the framework and thinking about the law, they are never going to be able to walk the way God wants them to walk. Okay. And, you know, you can just see that and hear that when people pray. Our prayer reflects really what we believe. And if you listen most of the time, believers pray, you can see that they're still bound by religion. They don't pray the way Jesus prayed. And often, usually the problem is that they take things, scriptures and so on, and ideas from the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, they did not understand. Many of them did not understand. Only a few people could grasp that truth and experience what God wanted them to have, the type of revelation that he wanted with them. When God tried to connect with them and want to interact with them personally, they just say, no, 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 we don't want, we just are too afraid. Because they did not understand, they couldn't grasp, and so they just said, you know, tell Moses, and Moses is going to tell us. The result of that is that that kind of mentality, in a way, is still today. And we have to break loose from that if you want to get anywhere. But the only way to break through is spiritual revelation. The natural man cannot understand the spiritual things. They have to be spiritually discerned. And that definitely is a spiritual thing, because their relationship with God has to be in spirit and in truth. So it cannot be through your mind. It has to be deep within yourself, so that you can come in contact with your real person there. And with the life that God wants to put in you and puts in you when you are born again, okay, the life of God is coming inside you, if you know it or not, if you use it or not. Okay. We have to understand that. And so what I'm trying to do is trigger in you the spiritual understanding so that you can be set free from the law. And that can be really misunderstood, to the point that lots of people think, you know, that if I'm free with the law, I can do whatever I want. You must be joking. It's just the opposite. With the law, you're never going to be able to do the things you need to do. The law is a complete failure concerning that, because the law can tell you what not to do or what to do, but doesn't motivate you to do it. The only motivation that works on you is fear that you're going to go to hell or you're going to have problems. That's not a good motivational thing. God never tell you, he instead told you to, you know, to be afraid so that you to go to hell. The commandment that God has for us is to love him above everything. So that has to be the motivation, and that has to be how we're going to get free from the law. Are you still with me? See, the love of God is the basis, and when we start to understand, start to perceive the way God is, the only thing we can do is to love him. Because there is so much more than we can ever expect. Praise the Lord. Okay. But you know, the principles according to which we have to function and, you know, and operate today as born-again believer were given before even anybody was born again. This is why a few people that grasped into that and were able to hold on to that were able actually to have a relationship with God that sometimes is better than what many born-again believers have. That's really sad. Because we are in a great advantage with respect to anybody in the Old Testament. Because we should be able to see clearly about spiritual things. We should be able to have much more revelation. Okay. The thing is, the flesh is strong. Okay. It's not weak, strong to do its own thing. He's weak spiritually, but he's strong to push us around and to be pushed for us to be pushed around. So we want to really come. Okay. We have to overcome, okay, the external influences and beliefs and carnal beliefs coming from our experiences, from, you know, or for born-again believer, for the old man that is still there, understanding what that means, and to be able to operate properly. See, in Romans chapter 8, You know, it's just so much in Romans chapter 8, one falls back into that chapter all the time. Okay. There says in verse 2, says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, has made me see free from the law of sin and death. So you see, the law of sin and death is the law that they had in the Old Testament. You do that, or, you know, if you do that, or if you do these things, you're going to be, you know, just, that's the way that things were going. That's the way you judge yourself. That's not the way that it was going to work. That's not the way it's going to produce result. See, the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. It is that you cannot have that law working in you if you're not in Christ. This is critical to understand, critical to perceive, critical to accept, even mentally. So you cannot do it by your Bible study. But you cannot do it by your prayer. You cannot convince God to do things by your prayer because you want something. Everything that you can have from God, He already given it to you. You have to take it. And the only way you take anything from God is by faith. And the only way that anybody took anything from God, even in the Old Testament, it was by faith. That was not, you know, the righteous walk by faith is not a New Testament revelation. It was right there in the Old Testament. And if they try to do it with by the law, they will fail. We have to understand that difference and be able to apply to themselves or to ourselves so that we can benefit from what actually Jesus did. But the rule, the principles, were there just in the Old Testament as the New Testament. Now we should understand them better and we should be able to receive much more easily. That's why it's true that many more people are actually having the type of relationship with God that they should have today that they were in the Old Testament all put together. Praise the Lord. Okay, so only in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life can be manifested in us. We can have the life of God inside, guiding us, empowering us, revealing us. We can have God speaking to us. We can have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, all these things to help us and to guide us into the path that we have to go. But you don't do it because you are good, because you do everything right. You get that because of your faith. Just the same as in the Old Testament. And it says it there, you know, what this verse is really explained. From the verse that comes before, which is Romans 8:1, that says, you know, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, and explained even more, says, you know, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, so that they follow what's going on, you know, from the direction we get spiritually, not from the things that you work out mentally. Not by the reasoning that you can have that are going to save you. You can save by yourself. You have to depend. They have to trust who? Christ, Jesus. You see, you have to trust everything that you are going to get from God is from your relationship with Jesus. It's critical in our connection with the Father. Is the only way to the Father. He said it himself. Are you following me? So if you try to do it by praying, it doesn't say, you know, by our prayer you're going to get it. That was said in the Old Testament because they didn't have really the understanding. See, we said, but you had to do it with all your heart, which really was saying the same thing. But the point is, you know, it's in the spiritual part of us that we connect with God. God loves those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship him is not just worshiping him. He's connecting with him. He's relating to him. He's receiving from him. He's getting things, direction from him by the Holy Spirit. It's our connection with the Holy Spirit. That's what is critical for us to receive anything from God today. It's simply believing. Believing what? Believing his word. That was in the truth in the Old Testament. That is true in the New Testament. And the word says the same thing because the same God that spoke in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he conveyed the same ideas then and there, but they couldn't hear them. They couldn't get them. So only a few people that got the right path, the right way to go, that they learned to make that connection. But it was always with the you know, the understanding that was blinded by the fact that they were not really had eternal life in them, no matter what. Praise the Lord. But they got the benefits the same way as we do today. Much fewer than us. Praise the Lord. Okay. The key factor is not according to the flesh, but walking according to the Spirit. See, that is what set us free from the law of sin and death. And you cannot walk in the Spirit unless you have received from Jesus the freedom from, you know, the Spirit inside you, basically. And you have received all the benefits that we can have as believers, as born-again believers, which is really Zoe, the life of God inside our spirit and not our spirit being, you know, dead like everybody of the children of Adam naturally. See, even today, people are born and they're spiritually dead. They need to be born again. That means born spiritually, born from God, to break the problem with their spirit. Okay. But, you know, that happens when they make some decisions. See, why then they decide to believe what the word says? What we have to do is when we read something in the scripture, we have to look at it and think about it and choose to believe it. Asking God to give us the understanding of what he's talking about. Because it doesn't connect with anything that is physical for now. Unless we have been receiving spiritual things. And the place to start is being born again. See, you don't even need to do a special prayer to be born again. You need to believe God and what Jesus did. We're going to see that quite in detail. Okay? It's not what you say with your mouth. It's what's going on inside you that changes you. That's true before you're born again, when you're born again, and after you're born again. So you can be born again and be stuck someplace and not be able to progress and not be able to get anywhere because you start in the flesh and want to continue in the spirit. That's the natural way to be because our flesh doesn't like to give up the control over us. See, this is the problem that we have, that the whole man, or old woman, if you want to call it, for, you know, differentiate, but it's not the same, it's the same thing. Doesn't want to give up the control of our life. Okay? Because cannot. It's enemy to God. That's what Paul says, Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. See, we have to understand the importance of connecting and realizing that there is law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There are many laws of the Spirit, spiritual law. Even this law of spirit death, the law of sin and death is a spiritual law. Okay. But the law of the Spirit of life is the fact that, you know, when you operate in that way, when you are connected with in the right way in Christ Jesus, then you are going to experience this, that we are going to walk not according to the law of sin and death, but you are going to walk according to the law of spirit and life. And life is going to be operating in you, trying to take over you and start to manifest the new man. Praise the Lord. See, the transformation takes place when that's happening. And when that's happening is essentially explained very well through the only way that's going to happen is through the Word. When you get revelation about the Word. Romans 8, 31 and 32. You dwell in the Word, that means the Word dwells in you. You stay there, and you are going to get what? To know the truth. You get revelation from it's not the mental thing. You know, the mental thing is going to do another rules and things that you have to follow. No. It's the revelation that you get about what the truth is that you cannot put sometimes even the finger on. But you have to start understanding what is to walk in faith. You have to start understanding what is to choose to believe God even when you don't have the manifestation in you. When you start choosing to see the things that are not existed and for you they exist already. Because you are not walking on carnal feedback. But you are walking on spiritual feedback from your spirit. If you don't do that, you are never going to see anything supernatural happening in your life. You have to start giving up on fleshy way and choose to start walking in spiritual ways that don't make any sense to your flesh. Because the spiritual man cannot understand. No, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Are you with me yet? Okay. Praise the Lord. So the key to be free from the law of sin and death, that means free from religion, is that you have to start walking in the Spirit. That means connected with your inner man. And that sometimes is kind of, can put your finger on. Praise the Lord. And, you know, it says in verse, the following verse says it very clearly. We have been exposed after Jesus came and after, you know, the gospel was announced by the angels and when it was expanded and explained all in the New Testament, okay, there is a completely new way to looking at God. Okay. That was explained in a new way for us. The good news means, the gospel means the good news. I mean, that's good news, and it's almost too good to be true. And actually, for the flesh, it's too good to be true. Because we cannot go by it only when instead the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So in just that idea, in when just grasp that idea, we are free from all the law of the New Old Testament, because we start being functioning according to a new principle, according to a new law, which actually is much stricter than the Old Testament. They could not walk that way in the Old Testament. In the following verse, Romans 8:3 says, "For the law could not do for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh," in the likeness of sinful flesh. Okay. "On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." See, he did it by actually, you know, carrying out the condemnation on his own flesh. He died in our place. Our sins were condemned in Jesus' flesh. He had no right to do that because he was without sin. So he took all the sins of everybody all the time in himself. So the law of sin and death has been already taken care of. But it's taken care of not for everybody. It's taken care of for those who walk in the Spirit, those who are in Christ Jesus, those who walk by faith. So there is the faith decision of believing what the Word says, believing what Jesus said. He was the Word made flesh. He's the evidence, the manifestation, the way that everything that we need to have, we can see in him. Praise the Lord. Okay. By sending his own son in the likeness of, not being the flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. His flesh was without sin. Praise the Lord. Okay. The law has not the power to save you. Obeying the law does not have the power to set you free. The only thing he can do is identify what you do wrong, condemn you, and pass judgment on you. He cannot make you free, cannot make you holy. The only way to do that is by what Jesus did. Because you cannot clean yourself up by yourself. Okay. Praise God. The Son of God condemned sin in the flesh by dying and crucified in our place. So the payment was made, but we had to. The only way where we get the benefit is by believing what he did and by believing what he achieved. It's a choice you had to make. If you think you had to do something to earn that, well, you're already off. You cannot receive anything from God by doing the right thing, physically, by doing the works. You had to do what God said you had to do, which is believing what Jesus has done. In Christ, you have the law of the Spirit of life operating in you. That means you get the eternal life working in you. Praise God. Something that we had to understand. Something that we had to do. Because the righteous, verse 4, the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So you see, the only way to do it, the righteous judgment from the law, the only way to get the Spirit of life working in you is to walk in the Spirit. So if we don't learn to walk in the Spirit and we keep walking in the flesh, we have the choice to do that, don't we? We have to be doing things. Are we doing it according to the Spirit or according to the flesh? Well, it says that if you try to do it through the law, through the things that you had to do, all the list of things you had to do, you're going to walk according to the flesh. You have to walk according to the Spirit instead. And that's the only way to fulfill all the requirements. That means you are to be in Christ Jesus. That means you have to believe what he has done. You see, the law has no solution for us or not helping us. No matter, even the physical sacrifices they did in the Old Testament were just a symbolic activity that was enabling her to grasp onto something, but wasn't the real thing. It couldn't save anybody from their sins. It was just a temporary solution that they had within us as a manifestation of something in advance of what Jesus was going to do later on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, the law cannot change your heart and your desires. To have a change of heart, something spiritual has to happen. And that something spiritual happens when you do a spiritual decision, align itself with what God said, believing in what Jesus has done. Believing has to do with your heart. It's a choice that your heart has to make. It's the choice that you have to make. See, the part of your heart is the critical part to get you free. You have to allow that to happen. You know, even zealous believers often walk on trying to get righteous by doing what the Lord says. The typical example were the Jews at the time of Jesus. They were zealous, and we are going to see, but they were not zealous in the right way. Zealousness doesn't do it. It's faith that does it. See, if we try to, lots of people, lots of believers, pray for God to give them breakthrough, pray for God to give them power, pray to God to change their situation, and they are frustrated. That should not be the case. That shows one thing. If you are frustrated with your spiritual walk, it's not because, you don't know what to do. It's because you don't do what you should do. Because you're trying to do it in the flesh instead of doing it in the Spirit. If you do it in the Spirit, you get results. Because what God has said is true. And God shows very clearly the things that we have to do, which is actually simply believing in Jesus. See, any frustration, any getting nowhere in our spiritual, in our Christian walk, and this is pretty common, is based. Now, doesn't mean that you instantaneously you get everything. Okay, sometimes there are things that need to be dealt with. Essentially, you know, what people often don't understand, there is an old man inside you that doesn't want to give up. And that is just as real as the new man that is inside you. The fact that you are born again doesn't mean that he's dead. See, you had to put him to death. You are the part you had to take in rejecting him and accepting the new man and letting put on the new man and put off the old man. See, people often do not understand the reality of the old man. It is actually very powerful. But it should be dying. And you have a part that you play. See, these things doesn't happen unconsciously. Doesn't happen without you taking a position and taking a stand and doing something. It happens only when you take a position and you say, you know, I don't let you control me. The word says. And that goes against even your skin. Makes you react. Because all your feelings are coming from, mostly from the old man. That's what you have been trained to do. By normal life. Because you live in this world. But we are not longer worldly beings. We are in this world, but not of this world. Okay. So that we had to negate the old man any right in our life. Praise the Lord. You know, even in the Old Testament, the same thing applies in the New Testament. But, you know, in the Old Testament, Isaiah prophesies about this frustration that we experience. And announced, and it was there, he really explained, you know, in this decision, you know, that we're going to see in detail. You know, in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1, he says something very interesting that is repeated a number of times, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that prove this frustration that comes from our flesh. Okay. It says there, oh, that you, referring to God, would rent the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains may shake and you're in your presence. See, is there wishing for these things to happen that weren't happening? Or for him, it was happening to a degree. But, you know, generally, that's the way the people feel. Oh, you know, give me more power. Oh, you know, fix this problem that I can't fix that is too big for me. Nothing is too big for God. And he's saying, you know, oh, that the mountains may shake at your presence. You know, shake up this place. This is the language of somebody that is not connected with God. All these things that are described here are the experience of those who actually are connected with God. Should be the experience of every born-again believer that has a spiritual relationship with the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay? Rent the heavens. Means, you know, doesn't get anywhere our prayer sometime. You know, well, sorry, you know, there is something wrong about your prayer. I don't see Jesus praying hours and hours and hours as people say we should do to get a breakthrough. Something is wrong with the prayer system. Okay. If we don't understand how to pray, we just better ask how to pray properly. I never saw Jesus stuck in getting nowhere when he was praying for somebody. He was already in connection with the Father. See, his connection with the Father was determined by our continuous prayer with the Father. I mean, the prayer wasn't there asking for everything. I don't think he asked too much either. The only thing he asked is to be connected, so that he could hear, so that he could see, so that he could understand. That's the thing we should ask. That should be our prayer. Because when we understand, when we see, when we hear, we don't need to waste very much time in trying to shake the heavens or rent the heavens. Besides, the heaven has been rent. It's been broken. It's been opened. But the heaven is not closed today. We're going to see that too. Praise the Lord. So, there is nothing separating us from God if you are born again believer and believing what Jesus has done. You don't want God to come down and do something. Oh, just let the anointing, just let your revival come. That's Old Testament thinking. The old Holy Spirit is down and should be inside every believer. If you yield to the Holy Spirit, you have revival naturally. Don't need to ask God for that. You know, things like you have to convince God to send revival today? That's wrong thinking. He sent revival 2,000 years ago when he sent Jesus, and Jesus did everything that needed to be done. And not only that, but he sent the Holy Spirit for each person that believes. What more anointing do you want than the Holy Spirit inside you, God inside you working? See, he's trying to do things, but we block him because of our unbelief, because of our flesh. I know that I'm going to go against what most of the people preach, but I don't care. I'm saying what the Word says, not what I'm preaching. I'm reading from you. Don't spend too much time making up stories. I'm just telling you what the Word says. We're supposed to be the Word made flesh, not the flesh made Word. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. You know. See, in the Old Testament, we have to understand, okay, that there were limitations. Okay, they could not see things because most they were not born again. They had not the Spirit inside them. They are not, could not have a really, you know, the same deep relationship with God that we can have, even a baby born again believer, because has the Spirit of God inside them. And the fact that they made a mistake doesn't lose the Spirit of God inside them. It takes a lot of work to break that out. God is understand that when you are born again, the transformation that you have is limited to the things that you are conscious about. That the old man is still alive there and he knows pretty well because he knows the way he made you. Don't have to tell him. Okay, that everything is fixed. No, everything is fixed in your spirit, but not in your heart and in your mind. There is a lot of junky idea that you had to eliminate, that some of them appear so religious and so good that you actually believe that that is the Holy Spirit teaching you. Praise the Lord. Now, okay. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 to 14, talks about the same principle about that I said before. Rend the heavens, you know, come down, you know, go up, whatever it is that people ask God to do. Okay, says there, you know, this is Old Testament, just that's the law. Okay, says, for this commandment which I command you today, verse 11. Okay, today is not mysterious for you, nor it is off. Okay, far off. It's not so difficult to get. Okay, verse 12. It is not in heaven that you had to go, that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us. Same thing. That he was, you know, he's not a brand, rend the heaven so that we get it through. That we may hear it and do it. Okay, Jesus did that for us. He ascended and he came to explain to us everything. Okay. Not is beyond the sea. It actually, you know, this is a question of the depth of whatever. Okay, that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us? That we may hear it and do it. Jesus did that too. He went to hell. He went to aid and, you know, and did the things that needed to be done there. Okay, so, see, all these things were done. And we are asking him to do it again. We are missing it. But it says there, this is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Old Testament scriptures. Okay. But the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. All the secret that they need to have was already right there. There is nothing new that we are going to find out. The word is going to be the source for them to receive. That you may be able to hear is in your mouth. We can see it. We can speak it. We can have it put in our heart so that we may be able to do it. Okay? This is the secret answer to everything. This is the secret for us. That's what, see, that's why the Old Testament prophets and others that did anything is because they got this message, this idea. They applied that, and by applying that, even if they were not born again, they were able to succeed. Now, this is not the only place it says that, but here is connecting to what, you know, the failure that people have about saying, God, please do something. And God said, I'm waiting for you. You make some decision and you take some steps in the right direction. Already? Oh my goodness. Oh, it's going to take a long time to get over this. Sorry, but I don't want to rush it. Because if I rush it, you are not, you know, the one that don't haven't connected enough yet, and so you may have connected. You know, we all have connected up to a certain point. Because nobody's perfect here, nobody is like Jesus. Anybody is like Jesus here? Well, if you raise up your hand, you're a liar. Okay? So we all have, we are all on the way. Okay, some more farther away and the farther closer than others, but the point, we are all in that way. So we all have something to learn, of something to grow into, some decisions to consciously make. See, you don't break through unconsciously. Unconsciously, you get in problem. Unconsciously, you may get messed up more than what you are already. That's why I always talk about conscious life. You know, you have to be conscious of what's happening spiritually so that you can make the right decision, so that you can make the right step, so that you can have the right breakthrough. You have to apply the word to that situation that you are in, and you are going to have the breakthrough, because sooner or later it has to come as you deal with the old man trying to drag his feet and try not to get you go anywhere. Okay. So, to find a place to land here, let the militarist me finish this section here and announcing what's coming next. Okay? So, said, see, I've said to you before you, life and good, death and evil. That I commanded you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. That's very important. You judge things. You have to judge things. Otherwise, you cannot know that we could command it. That you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. See, obedience to the commandment was necessary. Obedience to the commandment is not the thing you are trying to do, is the way, what you are trying to do is to walk according to the word. It's not that you are going to, see, there in that time was just trying to put the law there so that they would understand. That was the only way that they could do it. But they couldn't do it that way. The way they had to do it is what it says in Psalm 1, the first three verses, what it says in Joshua 1, 8 to 9, what it says in Psalm 119, verse 4, 11, and so on and so forth, which I'm going to quote just the last one. You know, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. You see, we had to put the word in our heart so that we are in our heart, we have accepted it. We have embraced it. We have allowed that to work in us and control the way we think so that we are not going to sin again. It's not that we are not trying to do the things that, you know, is natural for me to want. No, my heart is changed because I put the word there and the word is starting to work in me. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. You can see okay, that was the difficulty. Try to impose a behavior or law that was not natural for us to do because our flesh wanted something different. We had to change the desire inside our heart, and to change the desire of our heart is not by just knowing what you shouldn't be doing because you're going to be in trouble. That doesn't do it, okay? It's by the fact that we are, what works in us is our environment. Our environment is the word, the work, the world. The world is a mess. Sin is all over the place. And so what we are going to do, as we are in this world, we are exposed continually to these other ideas, this other thought, this other thinking. They are contrary to the word. And we are sponges. With meaning with that, you know, we can let anybody in to get inside us. It's like children. Children are sponges of information, of things, of ideas, and they just let them come in. And you can see they learn very quickly. But they learn bad things and good things, and often there are more bad things around than good things. Are you following what I'm saying? So that is, you know, something that people don't talk too much, but it's called transference of spirits. Okay, they hold the wrong thing, idea, spirit, you know, concept around the world are very easily into influence us because the world likes those things. And we see that all these people are excited about these things. And consciously or unconsciously, they influence us. They have an effect on us. You know, John Wesley said something that is really interesting. You know, something that a generation endures, the next embrace. see about things like homosexuality or other things. People just, you know, make do with it. It's okay. Now just something is wrong with you if you are against it. Hello? Are you listening what I'm saying? She doesn't need anything or any, you know, you're indoctrinated by exposure. And you had to fight against that. You had to protect your heart with all diligence, according to the way it says in Proverbs chapter 4. You know, unless your heart is affected, you get the wrong ideas, you had the wrong concept, you had the wrong desires. See, desires affect emotions. Emotions are contagious. Are you following me? We had to break that pattern within ourselves, break the influences of the old man on us, and to just let the new man, the born-again believer's spirit, grow and overcome. And that has to do with decisions you make about believing the word. Instead of believing the way you feel, about believing what other people feel, but about believing what they think, but about believing any of the other things that contradicts the word. The word, you know, is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. That's a good point to start. Top. We are going to see much more about this. See, you have to be conscious about the decisions you make. Because those decisions decide to believe the gospel, the good news, are going to change everything in your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word that never changes, is always the same, and set us free from the bondage of the flesh, and releases us from the bondage that we may have in any area, because the word has the power to set us free today, now, as we believe it, for the different things in our life that we need to change, that we are not happy about, that keep us bound. You want to free us from all bondages so that we may experience the glory of being connected with you. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what we can receive. Thank you for what you have given already to us. Open our eyes. Put in our heart the desire to consciously make decisions according to your word, instead according to the flesh. Thank you for your power that we have right now, as we make those decisions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.